Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Poet Jim Reese finds inspiration in such ordinary things as bowling alleys, classrooms, bumper stickers, and children's drawings. He also draws upon his experiences as an English professor at Mount Marty College in Yankton, his work teaching poetry to prison inmates, and his life as a father to a couple of young daughters. His poetry also frequently finds the strangeness and humor in the familiar. Reese is out with a new collection called Really Happy, and next Friday, he and fellow poet Patrick Hicks share their poetry at Zanbro's Variety in downtown Sioux Falls, and Jim Reese is with us here in our Vermilion studio. And Jim, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having me.
Are these poems from the past couple of years?
Yeah, I think they're a collection from Ghost on Third came out in 2010, so since then.
And how did you go about selecting the poems for this book?
When we were in grad school, I was lucky enough to watch Ted Kooser. He was down at, or he still is down at the University of Nebraska.
Former poet laureate.
Yeah. And he said when you have about 40 poems in a collection that you've sent out to magazines and they've been published, then it's time to start trying to put them together in a book. So usually try to shoot for something like that, 30 to 40 poems if they're published in magazines, and then put them together in a book.
Why is that? Just because that's a...
What
he does, and so that's
sure,
good
why not?
For you.
No, I think that usually, book of poems is usually about 80 to 100 pages, so usually it works out pretty well if about there.
Well, can we hear a poem? Maybe we can start off with the first one, the opening poem in the book, called Ready Action.
Sure. I'm standing in line at the mega pharmacy, waiting to buy drugs. I know I don't like this place either, but it's handy and cheap. Standing in the slow line, I can't keep my eyes off the prophylactic section. Two young guys with bottles of 5-hour energy shrug shoulders, laugh, turn to look at who might be staring at them, joke louder, turn back to the KY and rows of Trojans and lifestyles while they fondle their astroglide. Don't be such a numbnut, one says to the other, as they snicker and turn their cart down the aisle. Soon enough, they are back, intent this time on grabbing the right product. Then off they go, bearing their goods in a large, half-empty cart that in a couple of years they will fill with formula, baby wipes, diapers, Aquaphor healing ointment, disinfectant wipes, lead paint test kits, hand sanitizers, lots of sugar-free juice, Binkies, tearless shampoo, a pack and play, a bouncy seat, pregnancy tests, colored condoms, acid reducers, Band-Aids, Ativan, peroxide, and tonic. The cart will overflow, and that will only be the beginning. Today, though, none of that stuff matters. They race for the only male checkout clerk who, God willing, will let them pass through with hard-earned cash, without asking for their IDs, or if they need to speak with the pharmacist about practical application, correct procedures, or any other instruction they've never wanted or been given.
Was that a poem that came from your experience of standing in line and watching a couple of guys, or did this
come
from it? Yeah,
yeah, you know, unfortunately, we all spend a lot of time in lines at stores. You can write a lot of poems standing there looking at people and things like that, and you know, that's just part of life, so might as well make the best of it.
So you watch these guys and then just started imagining the natural progression of things.
Sure. Yep. And it just comes together that way. I was a photographer for a long time. I guess I did some wedding photography, and kind of joked that I'd be the only a guy in the PhD program that would become a photographer. But I used both of those, elements in a lot in my poetry and writing. So
one of the things that strikes me, and I kind of mentioned this a little bit at the introduction there, is that what strikes me about the poems in this book is that they're about a lot of fairly ordinary things, like just watching a couple of guys messing around in a store as you're standing in line. It sounds like... you must have your eyes and your ears always open for possible things that would work in poems.
Yeah, definitely. We always, I guess it just goes back to what I was taught, always pay attention to what's around you. And I think just there's so many great things. And I tell my students that, too. We do a writing exercise a lot in a lot of my classes where I just remind students to, I have them write down like five things they paid attention to that day. And you might think that's pretty easy. And then just to watch them, they kind of pause and it takes them a while to think of five things that they really paid attention to and why. And then I ask them why. And you start doing that over and over and things start happening, I think.
So anything can be a poem?
You bet. I mean, to me.
Yeah. Are there some things that you've tried to turn into a poem that didn't quite work out?
You know, my last book was called Ghost on Third, and I liked that. I was playing kickball with a bunch of kids in a gymnasium. My daughters were there, and I heard some kids say that, and it just took me back to. And the poem actually, Ghost on Third, is about my grandfather who was dying at the time. And I tried so hard to write a poem about that day, about being in the gymnasium and watching, playing baseball, kickball, and stuff like that. And it didn't work. But hearing that kid say that, Ghost on Third, I ended up putting it back into a poem.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with poet Jim Reese. He has a new book out called Really Happy. He teaches English at Mount Marty College in Yankton. You've got a couple of young daughters.
You bet.
And you write about them in some of these poems. And there's one poem here, Black Words on White Paper, that captures both your experiences as a teacher and a father. And I wonder if you can share that poem.
Sure. I'm grading freshman essays. Too many papers about exhaustive road trips without hitchhikers, anorexia, the death penalty, abortions. One about the future farmers of America. You don't have to grow up in the country to be a member. I never knew that. Most essays about families say they are dysfunctional. They always are. But sometimes, it still scares me what students reveal. Like when Carlos writes, "That night when my father pointed his hunting rifle at my head and said he was going to put a bullet between my eyes, I knew I had to say something. That's the first time I used my voice to make a difference." The phone rings, and it's Willow. "Dad," she says, her voice shaking, exhilarated. "Can I get my ears pierced?" At that moment, she could have asked for a pony, and I'd have given it to her. How exciting it is to hear a child's anticipation, the delight instead of darkness.
That poem strikes me as maybe bittersweet is a word, because you think of, the innocence of your children, of your young daughters, and the things that are and on their minds, so much lighter than some of the very serious and unhappy things that sounds like some of your students are going through.
Yeah, I want my students, whether it's teaching at the prison or in Mount Marty or anywhere, I just want them to write from the heart, write what matters to them. What I loved about writing when I started was having those teachers that let you write whatever you wanted instead of telling you what you had to write. And you give them that freedom to write whatever they can or whatever they want to, and then the real stories come out, They let go of that crow on their shoulder, and then some amazing things happen.
The crow on their shoulder. What is that?
A good friend of mine has a book called Poetry That'll Save Your Life. Her name's Maria Maziati Gillen. She runs a poetry center in Paterson, New Jersey. And she always talks about that, having the crow on your shoulder. And once you knock that off and, you start writing from the gut and your heart, that's where true writing comes from.
How long did it take for you to knock the crow off your shoulder? Or maybe never had that?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I remember exactly when it happened, but and I think you always continue to do it. It's always there, and you always second guess yourself. Can I say this? Should I say this? What's right and wrong? And things like that. But it's important to me. I mean, life's too short to worry about what other people are going to think. So you just write what really matters, and that's what I encourage people to do. You know, and I can give you a good example, and that happens all the time. I have a group of guys at the prison every year. We have, you know, so I've been there for 8 years, and they come in, and a lot of them have never written anything before, and I try to get them to talk about the, you know, if they write about the emotional instabilities that brought them there, that's where, you know, that helps them in their recovery process. I mean, you can teach a person that trade in prison, and that's good, you know, they've learned something. But until they can tap into those emotional instabilities that brought them to prison in the first place, you know, if they don't do that, then you're just going to send an angry person right back out into society. So I try to get them to talk about the things that really matter. And when they do, it makes their work really great, you know, and it really helps them in the process.
And you've been working at this is the Yankton Federal Prison Camp?
Yeah, I'm one of five, maybe there's six of us now, five or six of us. We, the National Endowment for the Art and the Federal Bureau of Prisons has an interagency initiative, and we teach programs, there's five or six of us throughout, there's six of us now, throughout the country at different locations. And so I've been, this is my eighth year at the Yankton Federal Prison Camp.
And how'd you get involved with that?
It was, you know, I had experience publishing. I started working in publishing when I was still an undergraduate at Wayne State College, and publishing books. So I knew that part of the business. And so when I came here to South Dakota, the education director, Marine Stephan, came up to Mount Marty and asked if anybody knew anything about publishing and writing and things of that nature. And so that's how she just walked into my office and asked, and that's how it started. And so I looked at what everybody was doing throughout the country, and I tried to do everything the first year. So we publish a journal, Perfect Bound book, every year, and it's free to the public. And it highlights all the guys in the class and also different programs that we have going on at the Federal Prison Camp in Yankton.
Now, for some poems in your book, Jim Reese, Really Happy, they deal with your experiences working in the prisons, and this is one called Still and Silent as Stone.
After dinner count, I see you on the stairwell gazing out the large turn of century windows, each pane a looking glass into that world where you once belonged. I never say hello to you. You don't see me looking down these stairs at your back, your khaki shirt, your gray receding hair. I climb the next flight, look out the window to see if I can decipher what it is you're fixed on, parking lot, midday traffic. Over the fence are homes, families racing about. A kid on a skateboard ollies over a manhole. Two speedwalkers point and chatter as they chase each other. But maybe I have it all wrong. I see the Chevys and Fords, hear the engines call, the glass packs throaty cough. Maybe we're more alike than I thought, waiting patiently, considering that getaway car.
What is your relationship with the inmates that you work with, that you teach?
I suppose just like any other classroom I teach at, they're my students, and just encourage them, try to get them to write whatever I can. I spend a lot more time than a regular I mean, I'm with them about a year, so I get to, you know, you get to know them just like you would anyone else. And there's hundreds of writing assignments that we do. So, and I bring in guest writers throughout the country. David Lee will be coming. He was the state poet of Utah. He'll be here in a couple months. But I bring local writers and just anybody in, and they get to meet them as well. And they're just, I try to get them to do as much as they can in about 10 months, and then, or about 8 to 9 months. And then in the last few months, we put the book together, and it gets published real, you know, in a real quick time.
I'm wondering what their reaction is to the idea of writing poetry. I imagine there's probably some that have written or at least been familiar with poetry, but I'm wondering about the others that maybe this is something that's completely foreign to them, what their initial reaction is when you come in there and you teaching them or sharing poetry with them and getting them to write and express themselves.
It's tough at first. When I first started, I prepared for months and months. The first day of class, a guy raised his hand. He said, "What's the difference between poetry and prose?" And I knew then I had to, this would be different from any other college class. I had to throw out all the plans I had and kind of start at the beginning, wherever that is. I don't know. And I just tried to explain to him about poetry. And then right away, immediately, all the guys thought poetry rhymed. And I tried to, then I start talking about narrative poetry. And then a lot of them write prose, too. So I'm lucky that way that I do write in both genres. So I can teach them, whatever they want to write about. The thing I'm most important to me, and I think everybody, is just getting their stories down. So it's tough. But I tell you what, it's one of the most rewarding teaching experiences that I've ever had in my life, teaching there.
Has that experience had much of an impact on the poetry that you write, other than, obviously some of the subjects?
Yeah, I think so, or I know so. I mean, it made me realize, I want to be writing. I want my stuff to, there's got to be a reason I'm writing this stuff down and putting it in a book. I don't want to just, like I said, we're only here for so long. So I want it to matter, and I want to, I want the stories to matter for all of us, so that's important to me.
Jim Reese has a new poetry collection. It's called Really Happy. We only have about a minute and a half left here. I just want to mention that you do have a reading coming up, and that's next Friday, January 16th, you and Patrick Hicks?
Yes, at Zambro's in Sioux Falls. Be one of them.
That's in the, any other things coming up in the area?
I'll be all over South Dakota in the next 5 months. I'm looking at a sheet here right now. I'll be going up to Alaska, and then I'll be in Sioux City and Sioux Falls at Augustana, going back to Augustana in March, and then I'll be going and seeing Kent Myers out in Black Hills State probably around April and things like that. So we'll try to get out as much as we can.
Now, you mentioned the 4 p.m. Count Journal. That's of writing by prison inmates, and the new edition that's out next week.
It's on its way here, so it's in a truck on its way to Yankton. So if you're interested in getting a copy of that, you can go to jimreese.org, and you can just fill out there's an information sheet there you fill out. It's free for educational purposes.
All right, Jim, I want to thank you so much for taking the trip and joining us here in Vermilion.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Jim Reese's new collection of poetry is called Really Happy. And that's it for this edition of Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Stephen Zwemke is the producer. We had assistance from Owen DeYoung. And special thanks to Charles McElroy for his help at the Dahl Art Center in Rapid City. Coming up tomorrow, Kara Hetland hosts Innovation. That's at noon Central, 11 Mountain, right here on SDPB Radio. I'm Carl Gerke. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up next.